This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together in the house of God, to worship together on live stream, and to feel the presence of Christ in our midst. I'm so glad to be with all of you this morning. And as we gather, I just have a few announcements for us. First of all, we'd love for you to sign in to register your attendance and let us know that you're here. If you're worshiping here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, if you wouldn't mind signing in. And if you're visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about our congregation, you can share an email address with us or a mailing address, and that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you in the weeks ahead. If you're worshiping online, you can sign in through the link that's on the screen and let us know that you are here. If you are here in the sanctuary, I just wanted to point out there is a QR code in our bulletin, and you can scan that if you'd like to use digital resources instead of paper ones, to share prayer concerns, or to give. That's one way that you can have access to those digital links, is through that QR code. A couple of other announcements as we gather this morning. This evening is our youth kickoff. It's called an eggstravaganza. It involves eggs. That's all I'm going to say. But it starts at 4:45 and ends at 7 p.m. It will be off-site, and if you need that address, you can email Emily Robbins, erobbins with two B's, at westendumc.org, and she can share that address with you. We will be starting a membership class on September 12th. If you've been worshiping with us and praying about perhaps becoming a member of our congregation, that class will last for 4 weeks, and you can join us in person at 9:45 during the Sunday school hour, or on Zoom at 5 p.m. on Sundays starting the 12th of September. And for more information to sign up, you can go to our website /membership. I also want to highlight this morning these beautiful flowers, because Charlotte and James Sewell, who will be attending our 11 o'clock service, are celebrating their 70th anniversary this week. So for those of you who know James and Charlotte, I'm sure they would appreciate a card or recognition of this wonderful celebration of 70 years of very happy marriage. They are a blessing to all of us. Finally, I want to invite Kevin Roberts to come forward along with our church member Bill Walker. Kevin is on staff with Habitat, and he has a special presentation for us this morning. You can take your mask off if you want.
That's hard to do. Take a mask off, hold a plaque, and a microphone. Good morning. I am so glad to be here. I got to tell you, this morning, I was reminded of a poem, a prayer by Ted Loader. I know a lot of you are familiar with Ted Loader. He says, you know, sometimes it just seems to be too much heaviness, too much sadness, too much of slums and war and violence and division. And then he goes on to say, or maybe it's just too little of compassion and grace and sacrifice and dedication and music and celebration. And I'm here to be a part of a celebration with you all. On behalf of Habitat for Humanity, we are so blessed and privileged to be partners with this congregation and other Methodist congregations around Nashville to build homes and communities and hope. I grew up here like so many of you did, and we've seen the affordable housing base shrink year after year after year. And so, Bill, what you've done for many years is wonderful, and the job is still open for you and your church members and your staff to continue to partner with us. We want to present this plaque to you, Bill, on behalf of Habitat for Humanity. This is recognition of the number of homes that you all have built in partnership with other United Methodist congregations here in Nashville. Going forward, we're going to change this from the United Methodist build to the Methodist build, because we've broadened the tent to include all families of the Wesleyan faith, and we're thankful for that. You all know what it means to take your faith and your worship and your love outside of the walls of this beautiful sanctuary. And I want to thank you again for being a congregation who lives what you believe. We are the better for it. Thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you so much, Kevin. We really appreciate your leadership in our community. We will have opportunities to sign up for the next Habitat Build, which is coming up in September. Bill and Kevin are going to make their way around the church to classes this morning and also be on the lookout for links in all of our e-news that comes out. Thank you for being a congregation that helps build love in our community. And that's in keeping with the letter of James that we'll be hearing from this morning, who calls us to live out our faith. So let us open our hearts and minds to this ancient letter, to the call of God to live out love in our world. As long as
you will praise the Lord,
who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Who executes for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Who watches over us and sustains us, who will reign for all generations. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry is held within God's perfect love, the God who knows us intimately. who cares for us deeply and whose compassion and mercy has no end. Merciful God, we confess we are quick to anger, anxious to be heard, and slow to listen. We confess our favoritism towards those who look and think as we do, our biases towards those who act in the ways we deem appropriate. The spirit of judgment we extend to those who do not meet our standards has replaced the spirit of mercy and compassion to which we are called. Forgive us, loving God. Ground us in the fullness of your perfect love for us, that we may turn from contentiousness and bickering, choosing instead acts of kindness, justice, and compassion to realize your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For those in the sanctuary, exchange those greetings in whatever way feels most comfortable and safe to you this morning. And for those of you worshiping with us at home, you may share those greetings in the chat or with those worshiping alongside you. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Ben and Gretchen Metter bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Ben and Gretchen, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? My friends, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, "We do." And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. Gretchen and Ben, what name have you given your daughter?
Mila Jean Metter.
Mila Jean Metter. I baptize you in the name of God who created you, Christ who redeemed you, and the Holy Spirit who sustains you each and every day of your beautiful life. And now I invite everyone to place a hand either on Mila Jean or on Mommy or Daddy, Grandmother. And we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in Mila's life. Mila Jean, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. And now we're going to invite Mila Jean and all of you to stand right here where Kevin was standing just a minute ago, so that all of our church family, both in the sanctuary and joining us over live stream, can see Mila as we join together in taking our vow as a church family to love and support her on her journey.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and face Mila Jean? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Mila Jean to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. All that God has already given you, Mila Jean, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a lesson from the New Testament, James 1, 22 through 27, Chapter 2, 1 through 10 and 14 through 17. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror. They look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say, "Have faith," but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what's the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all of the children who are in the sanctuary who would like to come forward and take a seat on one of our little animal circles. And if you're worshiping at home, move a little bit closer to your screen and join us. So great to see everybody. Come on up and pick an animal. Good to see you this morning. And if we run out of circles, we'll just spread out and everything will be all right. There's a fox up here real close if anybody wants to sit on the fox. Well, this morning, I want to tell you a famous old story. Once upon a time, there was an old man who was walking along a beach. And the night before, there had been a big storm at the beach, and all of these starfish had been moved up onto the beach. Have any of you ever seen a starfish before? Yeah, they have 5 points. Yeah, I've seen one on a show before. Well, you may know that they live in the ocean and they need to be in the water. But all of these starfish were up on the beach away from the water, which meant that they weren't going to live very long. But as the old man walked through and there were just so many starfish, he thought, "Well, I just can't do anything about this. There's so many of them." But as he kept walking, he saw a little boy who was picking up a starfish and throwing it back in the ocean. Picking up a starfish and throwing it back in the ocean. And the old man said to the little boy, "Why are you doing that? There are so many starfish, there's no way that you can save all of them. Why does it matter?" And the little boy said, as he held the starfish in his hand, "Well, it matters to this one." And he threw it back in the ocean. There are all sorts of needs in the world, and we can't always do everything for everybody, but we can do something. Each one of us can do something to help somebody else. And you all are so good at helping other people. So thank you for doing that. Let's pray together. Dear God, help us not to be overwhelmed by all the needs in the world. Help us to look around and see something we can do. No matter how small it seems, it matters to you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, if you're 3 to 5 years old, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church in the chapel. And if you're older than 5, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. Thank you all for coming up. I thought I would give the children time to leave because probably the last thing they want to hear about is the 13-volume work of the theologian Karl Barth called Kirchliche Dogmatik. Anybody heard of Karl Barth? He's probably one of the most celebrated European theologians of the 20th century. And he wrote 13 books, actually 4 volumes consisting of 13 books, about systematic theology, delving deeply into questions like the Trinity and pneumatology and ecclesiology and eschatology and all of these things that we study in depth when we're in seminary. He was a well-known professor and often invited to go and speak in different places. And the story is told that he came to the United States and was on a speaking tour and was speaking in Boston, I believe, when a student at the end of his speech raised his hand and said, "Professor Barth, if you could sum up all of your theology in one sentence, what would it be?" And Karl Barth said, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Sometimes the deepest truths can be summed up in a very simple way. Jesus himself preached the Sermon on the Mount and taught to the crowds all of his ministry, and yet he said, "All of the law and all of the prophets can be summed up in this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." The prophet Micah put it this way: "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" Sometimes it's those simple truths that touch us most deeply. Our scriptures are beautifully diverse. We have poetry, we have histories, we have gospels, we have letters, we have apocalyptic writing, and all of these voices are at the table in our scriptures. We have the letter to the Romans, Paul's long, deep theological treatise about grace. We have the book of Hebrews, where the preacher is delving into this image of Jesus as the high priest and all of these complex arguments about who Christ is. And then we have the little letter of James, which is so simple and straightforward. Now, no one is really sure who wrote the letter of James, but many scholars believe, and I think it's a pretty convincing argument, that it was written by Jesus' brother. In the 6th chapter of Mark, we learn that Jesus had a half-brother named James. In the book of Acts, we learn that James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. So he became a disciple of his brother, Jesus, and a leader in the church. The book of Acts also tells us that at some point, James wrote a letter that went out to all the churches. And some scholars believe that this is that letter that we have before us this morning. And it's so straightforward and simple. Even in the text that Ed read for us so beautifully, we heard, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Direct quote from Jesus, by the way. Religion that is pure and undefiled is this: to care for widows and orphans in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Don't show partiality in your churches. Don't prefer the rich to the poor. Love your neighbor as yourself. If someone is in front of you and they are naked and hungry, give them clothing and food. In some ways, the whole letter of James can be summed up: he got there first before Nike. Just do it. Just live out the faith. If you're not living it out, what good is it? And so we hear these simple words of James: do good, help people, love your neighbor. And yet in our day and age, it doesn't seem so easy, does it? The teaching is simple, but how we live it out, how we help others, is more complicated. As my friend Kevin mentioned in our Habitat ministry moment, there is a lot happening in our world, and it can be overwhelming to us. In the world that we live in, we have a device. I don't have it with me in church, my phone. I intentionally leave it upstairs. But almost all of us walk around with this little device, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we can see images, we can hear stories of the suffering of humankind all across the world. And the needs are overwhelming. And so how do we decide what to do and how to respond? James evokes that question of us this morning. How do we live this out in our lives today? Well, I don't have easy answers, but I do want to share with you two pieces of wisdom that just dropped in my lap this week that have been so insightful as I've pondered this question this week. The first comes from an article written by Nadia Boltz-Weber. If some of you know Nadia Boltz-Weber, she is a Lutheran pastor, a theologian, and a writer. And she wrote an article this week with this title: if you can't take in anymore, there's a reason. And she talks about how we are wired as human beings to take in and to hold the suffering in our world, but only in a limited way. She puts it this way: friends, I just do not think our psyches were developed to hold, feel, and respond to everything coming at them right now. Every tragedy, injustice, sorrow, and natural disaster happening to every human across the entire planet in real time, every minute of every day. The human heart and spirit were developed to be able to hold, feel, and respond to any tragedy, injustice, sorrow, or natural disaster that was happening in our village, but not across the entire world all the time. I'm going to continue to see if you resonate with what she is saying here. And yet, when I check social media, it feels like there are voices saying, if you aren't talking about, doing something about, performatively posting about, fill in the blank, then you are an irredeemably callous, privileged bigot who is part of the problem. And when I am someone who does actually care about human suffering and injustice, it leaves me feeling terrible. I'm left wondering if I'm doing enough. And the answer is always no. No, I am not. I don't know how many of you feel that way, but I feel that way a lot. And so what Nadia Boltz-Weber invites us to do in her essay is to recognize our limits. We cannot do it all. We cannot respond to every need that comes before us. But our job as followers of Jesus is to pray about and discern what is mine to do. What is ours to do? What unique gifts, what unique passions has God given to me? Or has God given to us as a congregation? That I can do. If your calling is prison ministry, go and do that. If your calling is immigration, go and do that and advocate for that. If you feel a lot of passion around environmental justice, go and devote yourself to that. If your calling is to sit at the bedside of those who are sick and care for them, go and give yourself to that. And then to trust that all of these other needs in the world, God will call others and equip others to respond to those needs. So we hear this invitation of James to help, to go and serve. We have guidance from our sister Nadia Boltz-Weber on how to do that without being overwhelmed. The other piece of wisdom I received this week comes from a podcast I've mentioned to you before. I listen to it every week, Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. If you're a Harry Potter fan, I highly recommend this podcast. But they're back in book one, and they were talking about Neville Longbottom, and one of the co-hosts said, you know, this just reminds me that we need to listen to the vulnerable. Listen to the vulnerable. When we are praying about and seeking out ways that we can help and be in ministry in our world, isn't it wiser to listen to those who actually have those needs rather than to sit in a room with ourselves and try and decide what other people need? James even says it in this passage, are not the poor and the needy and the vulnerable blessed with a particular faith by God? Do they not have the insight that we need to truly be in ministry? I have a friend who serves a church up in North Nashville, and he told a story about how he and his congregation were out one Saturday morning doing the feeding ministry that they do every week. They're deep in the community, building relationships and responding to needs there. And he said, as they were doing that, this big charter bus pulls in from a big church way out in the suburbs. And this group of people steps out and built a sound stage, and they did a concert, and they sang all about Jesus, and they handed out brochures about Jesus, and then they got in their bus and left. And my friend said he and his congregation were standing there just, there was no relationship, there was no listening to the need, there was just this assumption of, we know what this community needs, we're going to go in there and do this concert and have a great fun and then leave. As we consider how to be in ministry and how to share Christ's love in our world, perhaps our first step is to listen with compassion, most especially to the vulnerable. I don't know if you were expecting a deep theological treatise on the letter of James this morning, but that's not what I had to offer today. What I have to offer is just a few pearls of wisdom that God has brought before me as I've wrestled with the question that so many of us wrestle with: what can I do? James calls us not to do it all, but to do something. Do what we can do something. But James goes further than that and says, we must. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share your prayer requests with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering boxes on your way out this morning. This morning we celebrate the birth of Clay Douglas Malloy, who was born on August the 8th to Kelsey and Mike Malloy. He is welcomed also by his big sister, Charlotte Malloy. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of grace, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have shown us what it looks like to live out our faith by caring for the most vulnerable among us. And yet we have to admit that sometimes the needs of the world weigh so heavy upon us that we just don't know where to begin. So we ask that you would meet us right where we are, O God. When we feel overwhelmed, indecisive, apathetic, or weary, remind us that your Spirit intercedes on our behalf and moves our words of prayer into action. We lift up to you this day all who are in need of healing. May they experience your power and presence in their bodies, their minds, and their spirits. And may they find comfort and support in caring communities. We pray too for the healers, O God, for doctors and nurses and medical staff who work tirelessly to support physical health. We pray for counselors, therapists, psychologists, and social workers who care for the mental and emotional health of those in need. And we pray for pastors and other spiritual guides who seek the spiritual well-being of those in their care. Work in and through all of these, O God, that they might be strengthened and sustained as they care for your people. We pray for those who are suffering, whether from hunger or homelessness, from violence or from natural disasters. We pray for the people of Haiti and the people of Mexico. We pray for those in the path of Hurricane Henry and for those here in Tennessee who have been affected by flooding this weekend, most especially those who have lost loved ones. We remember the people of Afghanistan and all those throughout the world who are seeking safety and freedom. And we pray too for the helpers, O God. We pray for firefighters, police officers, EMTs, and other first responders. We pray for military personnel and humanitarian aid workers, and all who are working to ensure health and safety for people throughout the world. Surround them with your Spirit. Grant them courage and keep them safe. God of unconditional love, we also pray for ourselves this morning. Help us to discern the ways in which you would have us live out our faith, and empower us as we listen and care for your people. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary and through these side doors where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to our God, who loves us unconditionally.
send us forth this day with the words of John Wesley: do all the good you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, by all the means you can, as long as ever you can. And when you reach the limits of what you can do, trust that the God of eternal compassion is at work in the world and will call others. Go and do what you are called to do. Amen.